Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Mem Ches, Chulin 48, and on today's Daf Yomi, we begin at the bottom of Mem Zainam Abayz 47b, where the Gemara raises the following situation. Says Rav Nachman teaches us about a Reya lung, Sheni Moka, and the lung somehow had decayed or shriveled up, and so therefore it's not the same size, and in a place where it was complete there's now an empty space. However, krum shela kayim, the membrane around the lung is still intact, and that was not punctured. So the parts of the lung had basically decayed and are not there, but since the membrane of the lung is complete, we say it's kashera. It's not an indication of the animal becoming a trefa and being about to die. And the Gemara cites a brisa that supports this, and this brisa also talks about other situations with respect to the status of the animal. So it says the brisa, Reya Shenimoko Krum Shel Kayim, let's say the lung has decayed or deteriorated, but the membrane is still there. And afil mechazekas revius, even if the void that was created in the lung can hold a revius, a quarter of a lug, which is a pretty large amount to be contained in a lung, we say even if the space is that big, it's still kashera. Second situation of the braisa on the top of memchas amad aleph of our daf is nitla shalafuchis shela. Let's say the womb was removed from the animal, meaning to say that there's no womb in the animal. Is that going to make it a trefa? And the brisa rules that it does not. It is kashera and it is not a trefa. And then the brisa gives us a third scenario. Hitlia kaved shela. Let's say the liver of this animal became wormy. So about this situation, the brisa tells us zehaya maisa. This was actually an incident that happened, that there was a community where the liver of the animal became wormy, and they didn't know whether it was a treifav. Olalah b'nei Asya shlosha regohim liyavne. And so the b'nei Asya, this was this place outside the land of Israel where the people were called Asya, which sounds like Asia. They went up on a pilgrimage. Olaregel. Olaregel in the Bible refers to when somebody is going to visit the temple, but this was after the destruction of the temple. Presumably, because where were they going? They were going to Yavne. They weren't going to the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. They're going to Yavne. We know that the Sanhedrin didn't always stay in Jerusalem even before the temple was destroyed. But at this point, we know that the Sanhedrin had gone into exile also. But here we're talking about where they went up to Yavne to ask the Sanhedrin whether or not this animal was kosher or treif. And the first two times they went up, they didn't get an answer. But Laregel sleep. But when they went up the third time to Yavne, hitiru alahem, they allowed them. So what does it mean they went up three different regalim? So the simple explanation of is what we're talking about here is that they went up three regalim, which is the typical practice of being ola regal, which is on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. However, the Mesoras Hashas notes Rashi and Yevamos 121b and 122a, where there Rashi talks about a question that was relating to whether or not a woman was an aguna, and there we say that Abaye delayed her three festivals, and Rashi explains that what's the reason why they were delayed three regalim there, because the Talmidei Chachamim, the Torah scholars, gathered to hear the drush of Pesach on Pesach, and so therefore Rabbi wanted to ask all these scholars. So we see that they would wait with these questions until the Olei Regalim, until the pilgrims come up, because the Torah scholars also came at that time, and so they were able to ask those questions. But also, the Mesoras Hashas notes that Tshuvas HaGaonim says that there was also another possibility here, that the Amorayim, that after somebody died, a great rabbi died, the Amoraim would declare that day of the yahrzeit of that great rabbi to be a special holiday. And so every year the students of that rabbi would gather around his grave on that time, and they would make a pilgrimage there. And so maybe that this is a reference, that's what it's referring to, that this was a reference to the not necessarily Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, but also it's a possibility that it was a reference to the yahrzeits of certain rabbis. There were three periods where they would come up and they would ask these questions. So that's a second possibility. The Maariv Chayis adds that we see from here another point that even after the Churban, he is going back to the idea of the pilgrimage on the festival, and the Maritz Chayes in his commentary to Gittin notes that even after the destruction of the temple, where there was no longer a pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash, they used to make a pilgrimage to the places where the judges were, where the Sanhedrin was, and so they did this in order to ask these questions. And the Maritz Chayes notes all the places where it's proof that they would bring their questions and ask them at that time. And indeed, the Gemara Nedarim talks about the incident in Gemara Nedarim 23a. It talks about an incident where a woman made a vow, a person made his wife take a vow that she's not going to make a pilgrimage. And she violated his vow and she went up. And the Rosh on that Gemara explains that the reason why she needed to go up to the pilgrimage was because she wanted to hear the drasha. She wanted to hear the Torah because the woman also had the practice of going up to fulfill a mitzvah of listening, being a pilgrimage and listening to the Torah. And so therefore, that is why this woman violated this vow. So we see from here that this was a practice of the men and the women to go up and to make a pilgrimage even after the temple was destroyed, but to go and make a pilgrimage to the places of Torah on the festival so that they could have a spiritual holiday, so that their holiday could be fulfilled and coming closer to Hashem and studying Torah. And this was a practice of the men, and as the Gemara Nedarim points out, also of the women.